Welcome to Comic Book Nerds in Celibacy. My name is Nicholas Patterson, and I'll be hosting this show with...
My name is Umed Abdullah. I will also be hosting the show.
That's wonderful. Me and Umed are both co-founders of...
Umed and I.
We're both co-founders of Threatless Theater. My comic book knowledge is very, very in-depth. I've been reading comics for literally all my life, and I don't consider myself a comic book nerd if you talk to my girlfriend.
I just got into comics recently. I'm more into graphic novels, but I'm really interested in the idea of comics, and I got kind of into them through Nicholas and through movies. We can toss it off to...
Yeah, here with us, we have two guests with us today. First is Alice Quinn, which is the creator of T-Dog Comics.
Heyo. Yeah, I've been reading comics since I was 14. I got into it late, but I make up for it by going to the library and getting huge stacks of comics all the time. I'm particularly interested in the indie scene, especially the creators and creators who make comics in Toronto. So yeah, that's
how. So by big stacks, would you say bigger than a watermelon?
Like probably as tall as a watermelon. Like every 3 weeks, I get pretty much that much.
Watermelon.
I love watermelons. And our last and least guest we have here on the show is Matt Bernard from Bain and Bernard Comedy.
Hello. Yes. My comic book knowledge is very little. I'm not a huge fan of the printed word in any form, novel, mystery, suspense, anything. And you'd think comic books would
words
adhere to me because they're pictures mainly. But no, even then, nothing in a book form. So I really know nothing. I get
not even like a newspaper.
Nothing. No, it's either told to me or I see it with my eyes being acted out.
So because you write, you're a writer, you would say.
No.
I'm just thinking of how that process would go. You're kind of sitting at home and you're just saying it, and then your roommate is just kind of writing it down. You're like, I don't want to see it. I'll tell you.
Yeah, and then
what about blogs?
Oh, no.
Or like the internet, or like you just don't read. Okay.
No, nothing.
No. All right, well, it's pictures. Do you know what you would be, I think, interested in? You can go on Marvel.com, and they have the visual comic books where it's all the pictures, but they just do the audio for them.
You mean they tell you what's going on? You don't have to read it?
Yeah, it's all the pictures, but then it's people kind of like narrating it.
Is every comic book ever made?
Could be.
Is that what you were talking
Marvel
about? It's like 10 bucks a month?
Yeah. No, that's digital comics.
Okay.
That's separate.
Okay.
Yeah, on Marvel.com, you can pay like 10 bucks a month and you subscribe to digital comics.
You lost me right there
at the money.
$10.
Okay. I got many other things $10 can go towards.
Such as?
Rent.
that's a legitimate.
More $10 that's to add on to that, but
yeah.
Certainly not that.
I know it goes. Okay, so the first thing I think we want to talk about, and this is just something that I was reading a comic book the other day, and I was wondering about it. You guys know Eddie Brock,
yeah.
Venom,
yeah,
from the Spider-Man series. Venom, I know, is always.
I did it off mic,
well,
so you didn't have to stop
it.
For
it's
it.
It's fine. No, it's fine.
I coughed. Sue me.
Yeah. Well, the paperwork goes through.
Venom.
Venom. Thank you. Thank you, Alice. Is a character that it's many people's favorite villains. I was reading a comic book, and I haven't. I'm pretty cheap too with rent and everything. I haven't picked up comic books in a long time. And apparently Venom's a good guy now. But I would think, if you're someone like Venom, who's, like, we have the thing, he's probably murdered thousands, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think if he was turning to a good guy, he would be like, hey, do you know what? I have this Venom skin. I'm able to pretty much look like anything. I'm going to look like someone who's not anything like Venom. I'm going to change my name. No one's even going to know I'm Venom, and I'm going to do good. But no, he calls himself Andy Venom and wears the same costume.
Which is weird because symbiote can turn into anything.
So why would that be like, yeah, Spider-Man is like, you know what, enough of Joe Jana Jameson, whatever his name is, I hate him. I'm not going to be Spider-Man anymore. You can call me not Spider-Man.
And it wouldn't change. People would just be like, but you are.
That's like Prince being the artist formerly
known,
known
as Prince.
That's,
it's like you're...
I'm Venom. I'm the villain formerly known as Venom.
What made him turn good?
Do you know what? I like to think there's a lot of things that I...
You didn't read that comic, did you?
You know what?
Yeah. There was one.
All of it, it was just... I picked up a Spider-Man episode. I went up to my cottage, and I had nothing to do. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll buy a comic book. And I sit down, and it just starts off with Venom. And it's so funny, though, because he's... Like, he wants to go out, and he wants to, you know, take down this drug boss. but
it always starts with a drug bust.
Yeah, yeah. And it ends at like intergalactic.
It's so funny. Yeah. Because like obviously, and you know, in this world, people realize Venom's not a bad guy anymore. So he's you know, going to these drug dealers and he jumps down and they run past him. They're running away from some random girl and he's like, don't you know me? I used to be Venom. I used to be evil. And it's like, I don't care anymore, and keeps running. And he just kind of like is
Hold on, because I know like these comic books, they have like I've seen Spider-Man do like 40 different things, and every time I read a new magazine, it's kind of like, or a new comic book, it's like disregard what happened before. Is that just in like one universe?
They do that a lot, and at the end of stories, they'll be like, "Oh, but it was all in a dream," or you know, there's lots of different.
How do they justify that though?
How does Dorothy justify
it's,
that?
It's pretty. It goes on in pretty much every medium, like television. They do that.
Dragon
they
Ball do Z it does it a lot.
Books. Yeah. They do it all the time, and it just honestly, it's just sloppy work.
You think
and
so?
That's what I think is the whole Venom change. Like, if he's going to change and if he really wants to change his image, then he's got to change his look, change his attitude, change his name, become a different person. That is how you change your ways.
Add anti at the beginning.
On that note, I realize the only costume change for Venom is that he's white now, which brings up the race issue to me.
He's white now.
Being like, that's like people being like, Snow's so now. Beautiful because if it wasn't as white, it wouldn't have been as pure. And that's on the topic of racism.
It's white now? His whole,
it's still. It's like black with white linings.
That's kind of cool. I mean, I'll take it for what it is at face value and just accept that it's like a cooler costume.
But it's still noticeably Venom. He's still scary looking.
Does he still have the tongue?
Yeah.
That's
scary.
Yeah, that's like that's
what got me.
What made him evil?
No, is
Gene Simmons.
But if he's good, shouldn't he change his whole appearance to be like friendly and approachable?
I think he should go yellow.
Maybe he should
Who's
like wear
afraid
a skirt.
Of a yellow? Yeah. Wear a skirt, go yellow, lose the tongue.
Maybe like carry on a guitar. That makes everyone more approachable.
Yeah, so we are going to Gene Simmons.
Get a respectable job.
I've got a question for you, Mr. Expert.
Go ahead.
Is it one person in charge of writing the character for all his escapades, all his adventures, everything?
No, it's gone. Yeah, well, that's
how many writers do you have? Like for every.
Generally
the writers and the artists switch depending on like
it depends the
higher
series,
up
yeah.
decisions.
Like, oh yeah,
like there are some people who are like, you know, they get off and they're like, oh, do you know what, I love Venom so much, I just want to write for Venom. But obviously, I'm not going to cover every Venom story arc. You know, especially for Spider-Man, they're not going to cover the Amazing Spider-Man plus Ultimate Spider-Man, and both are very different universes.
What's the difference between Spider-Man comics and then Amazing Spider-Man comics?
It's like, okay, because my favorite version of anything is I love the Ultimate series. Okay. Ultimate Spider-Man is Spider-Man when he's very young in high school. So you would think it would appeal to kind of a younger crowd, but I think it's so much more grittier than any other Spider-Man. All the characters are a lot more realistic.
Okay.
Like in this one, instead of like, you know, the movie, I'm going to use Sandman as an example.
Okay.
Instead of movie Sandman, you know, was a guy who...
Doing it for his daughter,
fell into a nuclear reactor or whatever, and then became Sandman. And Ultimate Spider-Man, he's a guy who, you know, was a criminal, had just killed a bunch of people, and then a company was like, okay, we're going to take him, we're going to do extensive tests on him for years. So he's actually this, you know, crazy guy who's been experimented on for years.
How do they change that so much? Like, it's just weird.
It's like if you were right now to be like, you know, the Daredevil movie.
Yeah.
There were problems I had with the Daredevil movie. So what
Ben
I'm going to do.
But go on.
Yeah. So I'm going to rewrite Daredevil without Ben Affleck.
Okay.
And then there'll be some people out there will be like, how can you do a Daredevil movie without Ben Affleck? And you're like, because I'm rewriting it how I want it. That's what Ultimate Spider-Man is. It's people didn't like Amazing Spider-Man are like, you know what? I'm going to rewrite this. I'm going to rewrite the characters to how I want it. Like in a Carnage. Carnage is Gwen Stacy in Ultimate Spider-Man.
No.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Like Gwen Stacy died.
Turns out to be.
And they turn a clone of her. Which is Carnage, because Carnage killed her and then just took her DNA.
Oh, wow.
See, it just seems like comics have so much fan influence and so many different people influencing the characters and the storyline. It just reminds me of, like, fan fictions. Like,
oh man, I'm the king of fan fictions.
Like it feels like all comics have a bunch of fan fiction spin-offs that have become other comics, and you have the Amazing Spider-Man, the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I just feel like they should condense that, and well, they are. DC is relaunching
these everything, comic books have been going on for like, you know, Spider-Man. How old is he? Like, I don't even know when the first Spider-Man.
60s.
So he's been going on like for 50 years strong.
And you can't redo the same story. Like
absolutely.
And that's what Ultimate Spider-Man was. If Spider-Man had grew up in 2000, rather than Amazing Spider-Man, which is going on since the 60s. And of course they do modernize it, but if you read from Amazing Spider-Man number one until like in the 600s where they are now, like you're thinking, you're like, this guy can't be around for 50 years. Something's up here.
Well, there are certain characters that do age appropriately. John Constantine ages.
Who's that?
Hellraiser? Hellblazer?
Who's that?
You know that movie that came out with Keanu Reeves, Constantine?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it was inspired by the comic John Constantine, Hellraiser, or Blazer. I can't remember.
That's not, is that, that's not through Marvel or...
It's I think it's through Dark Horse? Yeah. No, okay, or okay. Vertigo.
But it's not related to anything.
He ages? That's his...
Yeah, no, he actually ages that, like, you know, every issue, he's a month older, and then, you know, they celebrate his, like, 30th birthday.
Oh, cool.
It's so kind of weird to think that a comic book character's, like, his hook is that he ages with regular people.
That'll draw him in.
I don't know if that's his hook.
That'll get the hotcakes going.
Get the demographic you were missing before. Yeah. But he's older.
Oh, man, that's so funny. No. Like, on the topic of that, one thing that me and Umen were talking about earlier is... Umen has a problem that they never actually kill off characters.
The only character that I can think of that actually dies, and I just found out today he kind of doesn't, is Uncle Ben.
They
Everyone
bring him
comes
back from
back.
An alternative universe in like
it's,
a maze.
It's like a soap opera with superpowers. It's, you got to keep the stories going. You can't. And now nothing will be said about Spider-Man ever again.
Yeah,
you
know? And I understand it, but I mean, it's like, you know, even, yeah, I don't know.
Even Sherlock Holmes. Conan Doyle killed off Sherlock Holmes so that he has full kind of power over the character. He didn't leave him alive for other people to say. He aged into this, so people can do reboots of Sherlock, but that character is his.
Okay, okay.
So, I mean...
Yeah. But that's my issue. You've got Captain America dies, and then they bring in, what's the
Bucky.
And then he's a new
Bucky
Captain America. And then I don't know if he dies, but then they bring, like, this clone who's, like, similar, and they call him, like, Captain A, or, like, just Super A or something, and it
America's
makes,
captain.
Yeah, and it makes no
He's
sense.
Different
because,
enough. It's
like
fine.
I get it, but
he has white stripes.
Well, this is something again that is very specific to superhero comics because comics is a medium, and there's so many different. There's historical. There's biographical. There's fiction. There's nonfiction comics. So. When we're not talking about superheroes, there are people in comics who die.
True.
Superheroes.
I want 12 examples right now.
12?
Well, she can probably do it too.
I'm going to be very impressed.
No, I'm not going to do that right
no?
now.
All right, fair enough.
Matt? Way to put me on the spot, though.
12 henchmen that die.
That's another thing. I don't get why the henchmen keep working. Like, do you think about their medical bills?
Maybe they're unionized or something.
There must be because you have a criminal record, so you can't really work for anyone else, but.
What kind of facilities does the lair have? Do they have an on-site doctor? Yeah. Oh, for these henchmen. Do they go out and steal it and then get beat
exactly.
up?
It makes no sense.
That's my favorite thing is that when they relaunched the Deadpool series before Deadpool got big because of like Wolverine Origins, it was called Deadpool versus Marvel Universe. And one of my favorite things they ever did is they had it at one point, Deadpool goes into a Hydra base because he's trying to get back his friend, the Penetrator, Weasel, who calls himself the Penetrator, because he was, like, captured. So Deadpool, he steals a henchman named Bob from Hydra to use him, you know, to be like, this is my hostage. But since he's just a lonely henchman, they don't care to get him back because why are they going to pay for one henchman? So Bob from Hydra ends up just becoming, like, Deadpool's pet and just goes around with him. And it's so funny that they took just, like, one of these like unnamed henchmen and are just like bring him around and he talks about that. He talks about his dental. They say, why are you part of Hydra? He says they have good dental there.
Oh wow. So they do take care.
And like that's what I want to think about. That brings up the point that maybe not all henchmen are evil. Maybe they're just going to this.
It's got a wife and kids that you gotta feed.
It's a job like anything
it's
else.
A job, man. Now, like, got two. Yeah. This is just one of them.
Working for Venom in the day and then like
when I read like Wolverine comics and I see Wolverine, you know, going in and like butchering these henchmen, I kind of feel bad now and I'm like, man, these are people with kids. This isn't like I can picture like clones or like robots as different, but
they never say anything when they're killed. It's not like he's like, no, I am an aspiring comedian or something. And then I don't
us
care.
If we were a henchman. I'm only doing this because I don't get paid.
It's interesting, though, because there are a couple comics that are they run around superheroes, but they're sort of parody comics.
Yeah,
one in particular, Invincible. I don't know if you've read it. It's really good by Robert Kirkman. And they explore
it.
No.
Morgan Freeman and Bruce Willis?
Oh, good movie.
You're thinking Unbreakable?
No,
Unbreakable.
Good movie, though.
Oh, Unbreakable.
That was so
oh,
good.
Oh, it is Unbreakable.
Ping. Sorry, good
movie. But yeah, in it, there's this one scene where this alien's hurtling towards Earth, and the main guy goes up, and he's just like, they start fighting, and they're like, oh, what? We're on the same side? Why didn't we just talk this out before? Why didn't we just, you know, discuss this instead of, you know, coming to fisticuffs? So, like,
coming
it's...
Coming to fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs. Yeah,
I want to hear someone yell that. We should have discussed this before we came to fisticuffs. Puts on his whole
It makes,
gloves.
I mean, okay.
So, like, even the comic world itself pokes at that and knows, like, even that is ridiculous and draws the humor from it.
So is that, it's like a satire based
joke.
On, okay, I figure. But that's even, okay, again, back to superhero comics. I hate that the be-all or end-all is always intergalactic space wars between aliens and superheroes and they have to save the day, because that turns people off, like Matt and I, who don't really read comics, and we're like, I really like this. I want to get into it. What's it about? Oh, aliens from outer space come here and they want
a whole other planet and a whole different space you can't even imagine. So there's these things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's the same plot over and over.
Now, Nick, what would do you feel? We'll talk about Spider-Man. That the stories have ever jumped the shark in any way, like got too ridiculous.
Oh, definitely.
Like, yeah.
But the thing with Spider-Man, and the reason why I like Spider-Man, and like, I just feel Spider-Man itself is such a ridiculous thing to fathom. Yeah, it's a 16-year-old kid gets bit by a spider and gets all these powers, and like the fact that, and like the Ultimate series changes it a bit, because I was always thinking, I'm like, why wouldn't someone off the, like the government just jump in off the top?
Yeah.
But, and because he does get into those stories where, you know, and for him it will be some like comics where, you know, he'll be like webbing through and just some big guy will kind of, you know, punch him and he'll get taken down or something, and he's like, whoa, my power's not working. But then the next minute he's fighting like Galactus from Fantastic Four and he's holding his own. And like the thing I think about that is, you can't, if like you set someone how strong they are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
you can't have a continuity.
Yeah,
yeah,
can't,
yeah.
You can't jump the fact that because first of all, if Spider-Man punches Galactus and Galactus falls over in pain, you can't have Spider-Man punch a random thug and then the next shot show the thug, like, you know, fighting, being restrained. He would be dead. You know
what
I mean?
That's my issue with Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man punches Doc Ock in the face.
And Spider-Man 2, yeah.
Yeah, and Doc Ock just takes it and goes, Spider-Man can lift up a car. The torque from the amount of force that he would have with that punch would instantly explode. Like,
yeah, but he's also a good guy. He's not looking to rip people's necks out.
The guy's like picking up cars and hurtling them at women he loves.
He can control his... Whoa. It's like handling a baby or... punching you. I'm not going to, baby, you know?
You'll give it your all.
For different occasions. I'm sure Galactus.
Well, and it's hard to keep that continuity because, yeah, like, for example, Lex Luthor, I can't remember what comic it is, but Superman's talking to Lex Luthor and someone grabs Superman and takes him out of the room and he goes, why'd you do that? And they say, if Lex Luthor had 8 more seconds with you, he would have talked you into committing suicide. And Lex Luthor was given a 12 on the intelligence scale. Mm-hmm. And 9 or 10 in the Marvel world is like an omnipotent being that understands, like, is just aware of everything. And it's.
And he got a 12?
And he got a 12.
Is this 1 to 12?
It's 1 to 10, and then he got 12. Exactly. That's what doesn't make sense, because they were like, wait. So I can't even remember if it was Galactus or someone had, like,
well,
he was 9.
Who pulled Superman out of the room?
I can't remember what the name of the comic was. It was like Red Dawn or
Can we talk about who we think could pull Superman out of the room? Who would be in a room Superman while Superman was just having a conversation with Lex Luthor, and he would know, and he would be able to be like, all right,
he
eight
sent
seconds.
Him there. I think he sent him there and was like, I'll take you to Lex. But that's the thing, is like there's that continuity error of, you know, he's this smart and you said, and it's things like Wolverine's super awesome, you know, recovery abilities.
Yeah.
How are they compared to Deadpool's and everyone's in the, it's really weird trying to fit.
Hard to keep track of.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't. You really can't.
How superpowered are their powers, you know?
Yeah.
Is there like a scale for it?
You can tell, you can sort of judge by the various fights that go on between different people and stuff, because, you know, even though they're all good guys, sometimes they fight each other too.
Civil War.
Like Hulk.
Marvel Civil War. That happens.
Doesn't X-Men have a class of mutant system? Class 2 mutant?
Yeah. I always thought that was just for, like, what grade you were in school.
No,
and
they have
what,
that. And
what generation?
And, like, and like Jean Grey is, like,
a highest
level.
12. Yeah, she's a 12. She's up there.
Her and Lex Luthor in the class together, and that's just them two.
Only two students.
And she copies off him. It's just, it doesn't, Jean Grey especially is one of those characters that you're like.
Well, I understand her a bit better, because they explain for her it's the fact that she could do whatever she wants, as the Professor Xavier put mental blocks, and that's why she's so weak at the beginning.
Okay.
Well, but that's the movie, right? I thought that Phoenix was something from space.
In the actual comics, Phoenix is like, the biggest force.
I didn't read it.
Of the world was like destroyed by the natives of space somewhere, and it fled. Fled to Earth and then kind of like hid in Jean Grey. This is my first thing. If there's a giant fiery phoenix, why hide in Jean Grey?
Yeah, and like why a not hot hide redhead?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they sense Jean Grey's power, right? Because if Jean Grey really is that powerful and she just has like those mental blocks up, maybe the phoenix sensed that power and was like, "This is gonna be a good host."
But didn't
help me beat those natives.
Well, that's the thing. With that.
It's such like a terrible.
I think that's such just yeah. I think that could just be what's the the woman in the Men Come. It's the Disney movie.
Pocahontas.
I think that's just a Pocahontas movie right there. And I think
you mean
the
Avatar.
Phoenix is Pocahontas. Well, it's all the same.
Thing. Yeah, it really.
You know,
is.
No,
the Phoenix is Pokemon.
Whatever it is.
No, if it was Pocahontas, then the Phoenix would be an alien from outer space that space natives killed and then went.
I just want to see Pocahontas. That's what I'm getting at. I just want to watch Pocahontas.
She should have her own comic book. Yeah.
The thing about superhero comics is that you're always taking huge leaps of faith, and you're always just
poetic faith.
You're always just extending your information a little more, being like, yeah, that could work, that could happen, and it's just like how far do you want us to go? You know,
mm-hmm.
How far do you want us to like? How much liberties do you want to take?
Well, that's it. I read the Ultimate series, and Volume 1 was awesome because they were figuring everything out, and they were
loving
like,
that.
Yeah, you probably would like it.
I would.
Yeah. But then and then Volume 2 hits, and first I loved it because it was really raw and gritty. And what happens is Hulk, Bruce Banner turns into Hulk, and in this form he has no say about what he does. So he goes on a rampage, and normally Hulk is just like, I $12 million in city damages, yeah. But this time it was like he killed 300 kids and like women and people and. I meant 300 people and some were women and kids, but and then the only thing they can do is like. They try to beat the crap out of him, but he's the fucking Hulk. Yeah. So, but then, I hate that they did it, but then it was like, the Germans from 1942, alien race, and they're coming back to get us. And then they were like, wait, but we needed Hulk the whole time. And they turn it right back to like alien space invasion. Yeah,
that's just comic book irony. We're running pretty low on time for the rest of this episode, so
let's fill her up again.
Yeah. Like a car.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
I'm just
like
wasting more of it.
If you guys have anything that you want to plug, Matt, if you want to start with you,
sure. On August 14th, I'll be at the Revival for the Follies Trey Bear with the Glamour Puss Burlesque Dolls. They're huge burlesque show. I think I'm doing some kind of comedy number with one Jeremy LaPalme. And everyone else will be in nipple tassels.
Including Jeremy LaPalme.
Including Jeremy LaPalme.
Alice, if you have anything?
Well, it's not as spectacular as like burlesque people, but you should totally check out my website, t.comics.ca, but like DOT, because it's comics in t.city.
I get it.
What we try to do is we try to connect the Toronto comics community. We do reviews and interviews with Toronto creators. We have an events calendar, and next month we are doing a great comic shop survey where we ask the people of Toronto who they think is the best in each category, like selection, toys, prices, whatnot. And then at the end we'll have a big award ceremony. So you should check that out.
Wicked. There's a Threatless Theaters doing an arts collective, which is just a fancier way of saying variety show.
But don't call it a variety show.
But we won't.
We're doing a musical show, and at the beginning of August, called Whittling Away the Time. It's going to be majorly musicians Curtis Whittle and Matthew Mashonda, and they're going to have some opening acts.
That's the name of the show.
Whittling Away, yeah.
God. I told Curtis, and I was like, look, we're doing this. We're recording this show on Monday, so tell me the name by then. So we gave me that. The other thing is we have another radio show that's going to be premiering on Centennial College Radio in September called Tales Sometimes and Sometimes Not in the Genre of Suspense. It's going to be hour-long radio plays, and it's going to be done audio-wise by our brilliant audio man, Tim Sale.
Yeah. So, oh, Tim's the man. Tim's the man.
S-A-Y-L-E.
Also, I guess, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/IamUmed. U-M-E-D is how you spell my name.
You should also follow me at on Twitter. I'm at t.comics.
And follow me at Nikki Patterson, or follow us at Threatless Theater. Matt doesn't have a Twitter.
Stop following.
You need to get. You need to get arrested.
Get on that.
I think you should get Twitter, Matt. I thought it was stupid at first, but I realize how great it is for marketing and how it really. It's just a social media tool that you can use if you're funny and you just, which you are. You just be funny in.
I'm following you.
You just be funny in digital
no
print,
one wants to
and then
hear
people
what I
follow
say.
It.
I don't know what I'm doing.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Little 13-year-old girls from Kansas will follow you, and
no more of those. Trying to quit.
Only if you look like Bieber.
Hey.
Yeah. Well, thanks. On that note, thanks for listening to us, and we'll be back next week.
Cool.
Oh, shit. Yeah, on a stick, yeah.
Are you still there?
I hope you don't leave. No. Well, right now, we're going to be putting up a song called...
Tonight's going to be a dark, dark night,
which I wrote about a year ago, and we had brilliant musician Matthew Mishana, who will be performing a Willing Away the Time, who recorded it and sang it. So we're going to be giving you the audio of the song right now. If you want to see the video of it, it's on YouTube. Just go and type in Elephants in the Room at youtube.com and it will be right there. Thanks for listening.
And I got a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night. That this job's gonna be a great heist. That I'm not gonna see that dark, dark night. Oh crap, I'm bleeding. Oh no. And I just got punched by that dark night. I wasn't planning on having a fist fight. Not going to Joker's thanks to the dark, dark night.
I hate on the ceiling.
Ooh.
And I jump and I give them a big fright.
Here, did you send him an invite? He should have knocked, now that's just impolite. He's so concealing.
Is that you?
You can barely see him in the light. I tried to move him, but he threatened to fight. Tonight is ruined by the dark, dark night.
He's the dark night, he is no schluck. He used some bad juice, doesn't use a cup. How you doing, Riddler? Leave any clues? Batman's on Robin, that get off.
He keeps on climbing the wall.
He won't get down, we'll go out, we have to stall.
I feel stressed out, do you want some gas?
I'm good with that meltdown.
He's interrogating chip ball. Oh.
Where is the Joker?
Do you have a cough? Your throat seems itchy.
Robin, buzz off.
Hey, look at Clown, what's going down? He's on the roof, but isn't Robin Tan? Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. And do it, and do it, watch that dance. And do it, and do it, and do it, do it, do it. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. Cause I got a feeling that the firefly's about to ignite. I'll freeze this party to stop, that's a spite. Now tonight is just the worst, worst night I'm dealing. Oh yeah. All we need is to lose that dark night. If I could get close, I could just use my might. Do you mind if I have another glass of Sprite? Tonight's the night.
Hey,
let's live it up.
Do what with what?
We've got Boy Wonder.
Who?
Make him throw up.
Wait, make him throw up?
Go out and get him smashed.
Really
like, oh my god.
Oh my god.
Another shot of whiskey.
Shot.
Let's make him brown. Fill up my cup.
Drink.
Mazel tov. Look at him dancing. Just take it off. Let's paint the town.
Paint the town.
We'll shut it down.
We'll shut me down.
Give him another shot. And then we'll do it again. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, and do it, and do it, and do it. Let's get him drunk and do it, and do it, and do it, do it, do it, and do it. Let's do it, let's do it, do it, do it, do it. Here we come, here we go, we gotta run. Batman comes, Batman goes,
now we on top. Is he gone? No, he's not. Oh God, just stop. Round and round, up and down, I am a bat. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Saturday, why Saturday? We keep going on, we know what we say. Villains every day, villains every day. Bust of a good night. What happened? Why does my body feel so tight? And it's all thanks to that dark